This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rich Bradbury, in the studio with
Christine Wong,
Arvind Yuvraj.
Kicked off the show today with this whole thing about the Bandu Cave Stairway has a new look and is creating a debate online. How would you prefer the caves branded, primarily as a cultural space, a tourist attraction, or something else? We've asked you all to feedback. We've had some messages via WhatsApp first. Let's kick off with those.
Yeah, this comes from Navin, who says that you don't see colorful Angkor Wat. Why can't we leave it as it is and appreciate its authenticity as a cultural site? Then we have a message from numbers 2305. Batu Cave steps are awesome. As long as it's affordable, it's a great idea for tourists and for young Hindu devotees. Indians are already full of colour, and some colour absorbs onto the steps. It's wonderful for tourists and young Hindu devotees who also use social media.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Over to Twitter.
Yeah, on Twitter here, we've got quite a few messages, actually. We've got from @P_Preman, who says, should be considered as both for pilgrimage and tourist attraction. That's what most of the temples do in India, and that creates a huge economic income for that particular temple, district, state, and nation. Then on the flip side of things, we've got @Shapiro, who says, pegging Batu Caves as a tourist attraction feels demeaning for some reason. The term conjures up images of photo booths, selfie stations, and tacky gift stores, which is a sentiment shared by @ThatsMyFullName, who says, designating a place tourist attraction often brings out the Disneyfication. Look at what happened to Brickfields and Jonker Street, for example.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Just before we go on, just the quick poll over on Insta Story. It started off with 65% of you saying that you would prefer it as a cultural space, with 35% of you saying you'd prefer it as a tourist attraction. That has now dipped a little bit, 66% to cultural space and 34% to a tourist attraction.
Yeah, we've got similar results here on our Twitter poll as well. 60% vote for cultural space, 32% vote for tourist attraction, 8% vote for other.
Arvin.
I want to, you know, I get the sentiment of why people are saying that it's not, it shouldn't be called a tourist attraction, that it sounds very gifty and gift shoppy and stuff. Mm-hmm. But most famous religious sites around the world are. Mm-hmm. Like if you look at the Vatican is, some famous churches are, they are like sites like Angkor Wat itself is a tourist attraction. And the reality of the situation is that it's a huge boost for the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And also these sites survive on tourists. They don't survive so much on the locals. They make money, or they are able to continue year after year from the money that comes in from foreigners who visit the sites. I don't think the biggest problem is with colouring the steps. I think it's more that sometimes there are no rules for these places. Like you have keychains with deities on them. You have like bath towels and stuff. I think you should put rules on those things. Like don't sell keychains and magnets that have like religious figures on them, like what Thailand has done. Like you can't sell anything with the Buddha on it. But not so much about steps and colors, because like some people have said, you go to any Hindu temple and it has those same colors, so I right. don't see why it doesn't sink.
All right, that's where we are now, folks. Keep feeding back for us. Let us know, would you prefer it primarily as a cultural space, a tourist attraction, or something else? On WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. If you want to join the online poll, it's on Twitter @BFM Radio. We also have a poll running on Insta Story, that's @BFM Radio also. Now moving on to story number two, about how air pollution causes a huge reduction in intelligence, a study has revealed. It's been picked up by The Guardian first, and then it was picked up by a few local papers as well. So it's causing a huge reduction in intelligence, according to new research, indicating that the damage to society of toxic air is far deeper than the well-known impacts on physical health. The research was conducted in China, of course, but is relevant across the world, with 95% of the global population breathing unsafe air. 95%. It found that high pollution levels led to significant drops in test scores in language and arithmetic, with the average impact equivalent to having lost a year of that person's education. His
wow.
quote, polluted air can cause everyone to reduce their level of education by 1 year, which is huge. This is from Shi Chen at the Yale School of Public Health in the U.S., who's part of the research team. But we know the effect is worse for the elderly, especially those over 64, and for men and for those with low education. If we calculate the loss for those, it may be a few years of education. So previous research has found that air pollution harms cognitive performance in students, but this is the first to examine people of all ages and the differences between men and women. The damage in intelligence was worst for those over 64 years old with serious consequences. Here's another quote. We usually make the most critical financial decisions in old age. And this is according to Rebecca Daniels from the UK Public Health Charity. This report's findings are extremely worrying. Air pollution causes 7 million premature deaths a year, but the harm to people's mental abilities is less well known. A recent study found toxic air was linked to extremely high mortality in people with mental disorders, and earlier work linked into increased mental illness in children, while another analysis found that those living near busy roads had an increased risk of dementia. This new work is published by the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, analyzed language and arithmetic tests conducted as part of the China Family Panel studies on 20,000 people across the nation between 2010 and 2014. The scientists compared the test results with records of nitrogen dioxide and sulfur dioxide pollution. They found the longer people were exposed to dirty air, the bigger the damage to intelligence, with language ability more harm than mathematical ability, and men more harm than women. The researchers said this may result from differences in how male and female brains work. Right. What do we think about this?
It's well, kind of, I mean, the stats are shocking, but yeah. the underlying, like, it causes damage to the brain and stuff, I don't think that's surprising enough.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's not a shock at all, because really what it is that a brain is a part of your physical body, and so if air pollution is bad for your whole body, that will affect your brain too. Like, right. quite logically, that seems to be the case. But it also feels like, kind of as Arvin said, it feels like a, well, yeah, sort of feeling, because of course air pollution is going to be bad for you, you
right.
know?
4.2 million people die each year from exposure to outdoor air pollution, according to the World Health Organization.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, though. We've got to think about the kind of costs moving forward as well. You have this. We have a huge aging population, mm-hmm. and as we've seen, cities and countries become more industrialized, and we're seeing a lot more pollution being spat out into the air. That is something that we're going to have to consider a little bit later on. Not just people who have physical issues, but they're going to have mental issues as they're growing older as well. Mm-hmm. And this is our generation's issue. I mean, I think people who are coming after us who are now moving and living in a society which is slowly becoming a little bit more green and a little bit more thoughtful and less polluted, I think they're less at risk than what we might be. So we could well be a burden on our future children's, you know.
If we don't do something
about it. If we don't do something about it now.
I mean, yeah. But we've been saying that for years. We've been saying that for decades, right? And, and still now to this day, you know, it's only taken like a few big, big events, right, to really spur a lot of the world's governments and a lot of the world's, you know, corporations into action to try and take these actions to become less green. We've been talking about stuff like climate change, global warming for years. Mm-hmm. And nothing's been done about it because it hasn't been serious enough.
Right.
You know, so it really comes down to, you know, For individuals, do as much as you can, really. But what really, you know, will impact it is if the bigger picture people, you know, do take more of an action in this, right? Clearly, I can't even talk, right? And I live in Kuala Lumpur, so I don't know what that says. But my point is that, you know, it's a lot of these organizations that are really contributing mainly to the problem. And if they don't do anything about it, then we're really doomed, I guess.
What I want to know is how much of this is biological and how much of it is emotional. Because I know it might sound a bit silly, but have you seen that? You know, when we have the haze problems, we have it at least once a year.
Yeah.
The haze blows in, everything becomes gray and stuff. If the haze doesn't clear for maybe, let's say, like 2 weeks, you find yourself losing you find yourself getting sadder as the days go by. Have you felt that?
Yeah.
Like you get dull, you know, you lack energy and you just want this thing to clear. You want the rains to come and just, you know, wash it away. But so I don't know how much of this, if you're living in pollution 24/7 and if you're there are no blue skies and you can't see as far as you want to and stuff, how much of that is just a kind of mental depression?
I lived... Both of us, you lived in a metropolis over in Bangkok. How was that?
Oh.
Right? So I can tell you, for example, living in Beijing for 5 years, the only times we saw blue sky, and they were called blue sky days, were when the Olympics were running, and there'd be the few odd days during winter time when it was so cold that the pollutants couldn't rise up in the air.
They settled,
yeah. Mm-hmm. That's when, and that whole period, the reason I left China is because I just needed to see sky.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, isn't that how it works in some countries also? Like you have like places like Japan when the flowers start to come out and there's like change of seasons and stuff.
Yeah.
And then people celebrate blue skies and they celebrate like the what do you call it? new trees or new flowers that start to blossom and stuff. So it's an actual thing. Like people sort of stay indoors during winter because it's grey and it's mostly
miserable.
Colorless.
Yeah.
And then they come out when the sun comes up again. So how much of this, it can be partly biological, but I think a huge part of it is also because they are emotionally down.
Mm. I think the two are linked for sure. You know, I mean, clearly there's already a thing called, what you're describing is seasonal affective disorder. So a type of depression that's related to changes in seasons and begins and ends at about the same times every year.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's definitely part of the problem. But I also think that, you know, whenever we, the problem is that whenever we talk about kind of mental illness or mental disorders or anything like that, we assume that there's no physical connection to it. So I think it's a mixture of both. You know, the more that you're around pollution, the more that your, maybe your brain is like damaged or something like that. And in that, maybe that's why you might produce like less of certain hormones, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's all linked, right? And fact of the matter is, we're really at a place now where if we don't turn back now, we will never turn back. Mm.
And it could be already too late.
We will continue to see declining rates like this if nothing happens, you know?
And increased rates of pollution and people with mental issues.
Yep.
Okay, we've got to take a break. Don't forget, we are talking about the Batu Caves Stairway. Would you rather see it as a tourist attraction or as a cultural space or something else? Let us know. Give us some feedback. Get us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Join the polls both on Twitter and on Insta Story, both at BFM Radio. We're going to take a short break. A couple of songs back to back. We've got the Small Faces with Tin Soldier, followed by Television with the track Glory. When we get back, moving on to story number three, Microsoft's new AI assistant, Clippy version 2. Do we really want it? No, we don't. Anyway, music it is. You're listening to Enterprise BizBytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.